Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and having nothing to do. She was even considering in her own mind, as well as she could, for the hot day made her feel very sleepy and stupid, that perhaps she should go over her lessons, as she'd been told to do in the schoolroom that morning.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic are such an awful bore. Reading, writing, and arithmetic are not what little girls are for. Add it up, subtract, add it up, subtract. Now multiply by nine. I don't want to work anymore, anymore. I want to go and play with Dinah. Dinah is my cat, she's a funny little cat. The sweetest, furriest, purriest cat. She's got silky ears and big green eyes and splendid whiskers of enormous size. Add it up, subtract, add it up, subtract. Now multiply by nine. I don't want to work anymore, anymore. I want to go and play with Dinah. She follows me around a silky shadow of fur. There's never been a lady in waiting like her. But when I have my dreary lessons to do, Dinah goes off to chase a leaf or two. Add it up, subtract, add it up, subtract. Now multiply by nine. I don't want to work anymore, anymore. I want to go and play with Dinah. Cats, like humans, are curious mixtures. They don't like books without any pictures.
Alice was finding it more and more difficult to keep her eyes open when suddenly something so extraordinary occurred that she started to her feet in amazement. It was not so very remarkable to see a white rabbit with pink eyes and very smartly dressed in a gay check waistcoat hurry past her. But as Alice watched, he paused uncertainly and took a watch from his waistcoat pocket. This did surprise her.
How curious. I don't ever remember seeing a rabbit in a waistcoat before. I'm certain I've never seen one with a watch and chain. He seems very put out. Perhaps I ought to ask if I can be of any help. But do rabbits speak English?
Oh, my ears and whiskers. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I shall be too late. Whatever shall I do? Decisions, decisions, I've got to make decisions. I don't know what to do with the day. Shall I fill it with memories, or shall I throw it away? Decisions, decisions, I've got to make decisions. There isn't really time to delay. Shall I sit under the apple trees, or go and play in the hay? There's a meeting of the Rabbit Guild in Farmer Turner's Turnip Field. I really think I ought to attend. And yet, upon the other hand, my services are in demand. I've got a broken hedge I ought to mend. Decisions, decisions, I've got to make decisions. I've really got to get on my way. A rabbit's life is a busy life. I've got to make decisions. It's no use having visions. I've got to make decisions today. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, my ears and whiskers, whatever shall I do?
With a nervous sniff, the white rabbit clapped his watch into his pocket, scurried across the field, and disappeared down a large rabbit hole under the hedge. Burning with curiosity, Alice raced after him, and not stopping to think for a moment, she dived into the rabbit hole. It seemed very dark and eerie inside after the sunlit field, and Alice, in her anxiety to catch up with the white rabbit, quite forgot to look where she was going, and found herself falling down a very deep well. Down, down, down she went.
Well, after such a fall as this, I shall think nothing of falling downstairs. I wonder how many miles I've fallen. Oh dear, my poor little cat Dinah will miss me tonight. I hope they'll remember her saucer of milk at tea time. It's a very long way down. Perhaps I'm falling through the earth. Well, that was lucky. These lovely soft leaves have broken my fall nicely. Oh, there goes the white rabbit.
Oh, my tail and whiskers. Oh, how late it's getting. Oh, how late it's getting. Late it's getting. Late.
Alice raced round the corner after the white rabbit and found herself in a long, low hall which was lit by lamps hanging from the roof. There were doors all round the hall. She tried each one eagerly.
Oh, every door locked. How am I going to get out of here? Oh, how very curious. A little glass table with something on it. A little golden key, a bottle labeled Drink Me, and a little cake labeled Eat Me. Curiouser and curiouser.
Alice found that the little golden key fitted the smallest door exactly. It opened onto the loveliest garden you ever saw. But alas, she was much too big to squeeze through such a little door. However, being an obedient little girl, she drank from the bottle labeled Drink Me. And to her astonishment, began to shrink rapidly. Soon she was small enough to get through the little door. But now she was too small to reach the key, which, unfortunately, she'd left on the table. There was only one thing to do. She quickly nibbled the cake labeled Eat Me. And, oh dear, she grew and grew like the largest telescope that ever was. Poor Alice. All this shrinking and growing was enough to upset anybody. She tried hard not to cry and scolded herself severely.
Come, you really must stop crying like this. A great girl like you. This won't get you into that lovely garden, you know. Stop this minute, I tell you.
But she went on crying and shedding gallons of tears until there was a large pool all around her. And soon the water was up to her chin.
Oh, help! Oh, I do wish I hadn't cried so much. It will be a queer thing if I'm drowned in my own tears. But everything is queer today. I know I must breathe regularly and swim out for the nearest bank.
Swimming was not so easy, because the pool was getting quite crowded with the birds and animals that had fallen into it. There was a duck and a dodo, a lory and an egret, and several other curious creatures. Alice led the way and the whole party swam to the shore. She was glad of their company, and to make polite conversation, started talking about Dinah.
You'd love Dinah, our cat. She's a capital one for catching mice. Oh, and I wish you could see her after the birds. Why, she'll eat a little bird as soon as look at it.
This speech caused a remarkable sensation among the party, who all made various excuses and disappeared in a great hurry.
Hurry, you must be getting home. The nightmare doesn't shoot my toes.
Come along, then. Come along, everybody. It's time we were all in bed.
I wish I hadn't mentioned Dinah. Nobody seems to like her down here. Oh, I do hope somebody's coming back. Oh, why? It's the white rabbit again. Oh, please, sir.
Oh, the Duchess, the Duchess. Oh, won't she be savage if I kept her waiting? Oh, my dear paws. Oh, my fur and whiskers. Oh, she'll get me executed. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Sure as ferrets are ferrets. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Off he went like a streak of lightning. Alice chased him until she was out of breath. As she leaned against a buttercup to rest, fanning herself with a leaf, her eyes suddenly met those of a large blue caterpillar sitting on a mushroom. He was quietly smoking a long hookah, which is a Turkish bubble pipe, and taking not the smallest notice of her, or of anything else. They looked at each other for some time in silence. Then he addressed her in a languid, steepy voice.
Who are you?
Well, I hardly know, sir, just at present. I know who I was this morning, but I've changed several times since then.
Explain yourself.
It is difficult to put it more clearly. I can't understand it myself. Being so many different sizes in a day is very confusing.
It isn't.
Perhaps you haven't found it so. All I know is it feels very queer to me.
You? Who are you?
I think you ought to tell me who you are first.
Why?
Well, if that's all you've got to say.
Keep your temper. So, you think you've changed, do you?
Well, I can't remember things as I used to. I've tried to say how doth the little busy bee, but it came all different.
Repeat, you are old Father William.
You are old Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white, and yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?
Do you think at your age it is right?
In my youth, Father William replied to his son, I feared it might injure the brain, but now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, why, I do it again and again.
You are old, said the youth, as I mentioned before, and have grown most uncommonly fat. Yet you turned a back somersault in at the door. Pray, what is the reason of that?
Pray, what is the reason of that?
In my youth, said the sage, as he shook his grey locks, I kept all my limbs very supple. By the use of this ointment, 1 shilling the box, allow me to sell you a couple.
You are old, said the youth, and your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones and the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?
Pray, how did you manage to do it?
In my youth, said his father, I took to the law and argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life.
You are old, said the youth, one would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever. Yet you balanced an eel on the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever?
What made you so awfully clever?
I have answered 3 questions, and that is enough. Said his father, don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs. Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs. That is not said right. It is wrong from beginning to end. By the way, one side will make you grow taller, and the other side shorter.
Oh, one side of what? The other side of what?
The mushroom, of course.
He was right. When he'd gone, Alice broke bits off both sides of the mushroom, and by nibbling the right-hand bit and the left-hand bit alternately, succeeded in making herself the right size for getting into the garden. It certainly was a beautiful garden, and it surrounded a little house about 4 feet high. As Alice approached, a fish-faced footman in livery ran up to the door and rapped loudly. A frog-faced footman opened the door.
And what is it?
For the Duchess, an invitation from the Queen to play croquet.
From the Queen, an invitation for the Duchess to play croquet.
So this is where the Duchess lives. It sounds a very quarrelsome household.
Please, may I come in?
What's the good of coming in? No one could hear you speak if you did. I shall sit out here until tomorrow. Or the next day, perhaps.
Somebody is throwing plates about. That's very dangerous, you know.
I shall sit here on and off for days and days.
He's perfectly idiotic. I'm going in to see what's happening. How strange. I'm in the Duchess's kitchen already. In our house, you have to go into the hall first, then through the green baize door, and down the back stairs. Something must be burning to make all this smoke. Oh, excuse me, cook. Does the Duchess really like so much pepper in her soup? Don't you think there's a little too much pepper? I think it's upsetting the baby.
The cook went on stirring the soup without answering. And through the smoke, Alice saw the Duchess sitting on a three-legged stool nursing the baby. A large cat sat in the hearth, grinning from ear to ear. Suddenly, the cook started throwing a shower of fire irons, plates and saucepans at the Duchess and the baby.
Please mind what you are doing. Oh, there goes the baby's precious loo. Stop it, I say. Please, madam, can't you stop her?
But everyone mind their own business. The world will go round a deal faster than it does.
Which would not be an advantage. You see, the Earth takes 24 hours to turn on its axis.
Talking of axes, chop off her head. Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes.
Please, would you tell me why your cat grins like that?
A Cheshire cat. Anyway, all cats can grin, and most of them do.
Diana never does. In fact, I don't know of any cat that does.
You don't know much, and that's a fact. He only does it to a boy because he knows it pleases. Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes. He only does it to annoy because he knows it teases. Baby a bit, if you like. I must go and get ready to play croquet with the Queen.
The way they throw babies about here is disgraceful. Come on, baby dear. Let's go into the garden. It would be murder to leave you here. There, the fresh air will do you good. Don't grunt. If you're going to turn into a pig, my dear, I have nothing more to do with you. Oh, dear. It's run away into the woods. Perhaps as well. If it had grown up, it would have been a dreadfully ugly child. Oh, Cheshire Puss, what a fright you gave me. I didn't see you sitting up there in the tree. Please, could you tell me which way I ought to go from here?
That depends a good deal on where you want to go.
I don't much care where.
Then it doesn't matter much which way, does it? In that direction lives a hatter, and in that direction lives a march hare. Visit whichever you like. They're both mad.
But I don't want to go among mad people.
I can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad, you're mad. Do you play croquet with the Queen today?
I should like to very much, but I haven't been invited yet.
You'll see me there.
Curiouser and curiouser. It didn't run away. It just melted.
By the way, what happened to the baby? I nearly forgotten to ask.
It turned into a pig.
I thought it would.
Oh, it's disappeared again. I wish it would come back. It was nice to talk to. Now, which way shall I go? I think it would be most interesting to meet a March Hare. Perhaps as this is May, he won't be raving mad. At least not so mad as in March.
Did you say pig or fig?
I said pig, and I wish you wouldn't keep appearing and disappearing so suddenly. You make me feel quite giddy.
All right, then.
Well, I've often seen a cat without a grin, but a grin without a cat. It's all very curious. Now, let me see. Which way did it say the March Hare was? Why, this must be his house. The chimneys are shaped like rabbit's ears, and the roof is thatched with fur. Oh, this is lucky. There's the March Hare himself. He seems to be giving a tea party in the garden. And I'm sure that's the Mad Hatter next to him. Now I'll be able to meet both of them. Well, that's rather unusual. There's a dormouse sitting between them. And they are resting their elbows on him, just as though he were a cushion. Oh, well, he's fast asleep, so perhaps he doesn't mind.
The table was a large one, but there they were places laid for a great many people. All three were crowded into one corner of it, and by the look of things, as soon as they'd finished what they were eating, they all moved up one place to a clean plate. As soon as he saw Alice, the March Hare cried out,
"No room, no room, there's not a bit of room, so go away and play. No room, no room, there's not a bit of room, no tea for you today.
No tea for you today."
Go back to sleep, Dormouse.
What chair?
What chair?
What chair?
What chair?
What chair?
I never saw a chair. I never saw a chair. Who ever saw a chair that wasn't there?
You know perfectly well there's a chair there, and you should stand up and let a lady sit down. You're very ignorant.
Your hair needs cutting. Ignorant? What's ignorant?
Ignorant? What's ignorant?
You don't know what ignorant is, that's ignorant. It's ignorant. If you don't know what ignorant is, that's ignorant.
If you don't know what ignorant is, that's really ignorant.
I thought that blooming dormouse would start.
I'm glad to see someone agrees with me.
What day of the month is it?
The 4th, I think.
Oh, dear, my watch is 2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works much hair.
Well, it was the best butter, you know.
Won't you have some wine?
I don't see any wine.
There isn't any wine, so you may have some of mine.
Come on, pass your glass.
To ask a guest to have some wine when there isn't any is very ignorant.
Ignorant? What's ignorant?
Ignorant? What's ignorant?
You don't know what ignorant is, that's ignorant. It's ignorant if you don't know what ignorant is. That's ignorant.
If you don't know what ignorant is, that's very ignorant.
I wish she'd not write off.
Why is the raving like a writing desk? Why is the raving like a writing desk?
I love riddles, they are splendid fun.
Do you mean to say you can answer one?
Of course I can. I mean to say.
Mean to say? Say what you mean.
Mean to say? Say what you mean. It's exactly the same either way.
Not the same a bit, I don't agree. Not the same a bit, I don't agree. You might as well say, I see what I eat is exactly the same as I eat what I see.
Oh, I like what I get is I get what I like.
What I breathe, what I sleep is I sleep what I breathe.
It's the same with you, you're never awake.
Oh, stop, promise not, for goodness sake.
Oh, that dormouse is asleep again.
Well, pour a little hot tea on his nose. Have you guessed the riddle yet?
No, I give up. What's the answer?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Nor I.
To ask questions without knowing the answer is very ignorant.
Oh, tell us a story, dormouse. And be quick about it, or you'll be asleep before it's done.
Once upon a time, there were three little sisters living at the bottom of a well. There was Elsie and Lacey, and overweight Tilly, but it's silly to live in a well.
What did they live on?
Treacle, on treacle, on treacle. On treacle, they all got their fill.
Oh, no, that's not true. If they all lived on treacle, they'd have been very, very ill.
So they were, I'm afraid. Each poor little maid on treacle was very, very ill.
Why did they live in a well?
Take some more tea.
I've had nothing yet, so how can I take more?
You mean you can't take less? It's very easy to take more than nothing.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Don't make personal remarks. It's ignorance.
Yes, ignorance.
Ignorance? What's ignorance?
Ignorance? What's ignorance?
You don't know what ignorance is, that's ignorant. It's ignorant if you don't know what ignorance is, that's ignorant. Why did they live at the bottom of a well?
It was a treacle well.
There's no such thing.
These three little sisters were learning to draw.
Learning to draw? What did they draw?
They were learning to draw. Treacle, for sure.
Where did they draw the treacle from?
You can draw water from a water well. So you can draw a treacle from a treacle well.
But they were in the well.
Of course they were. Welly. They were learning to draw everything beginning with an M.
Why with an M?
Why not? M is a very nice letter. M is for marvelous, don't you agree? For M is the letter for me.
M is for manners, and where you're concerned, there are none that I can see.
M is for mad as a hatter, they say. Well, why not? 'Cause I think it's sad. The world would be such a magnificent place were we all just a little bit mad.
I've got an M. M is for empire.
It's definitely not, for empire begins with an E.
Well, why don't they speak like they sound, can't you see? It's all so confusing to me.
Oh, I think M is a lovely letter.
M is for memory and mousetrap and moonlight. And M is for muchness and mean. M is for magic and mushrooms and mischief. And M is for making a scene. Madam and Mama and Milkmaid and Miss. Marshmallow, Marzip and Michaelmas and May. We could go on till forever like this. M is for marbles, but who wants to play?
I want to play marbles.
I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on.
Hey, I've got an M.
Yes?
M is for emphasis.
No, that's an E.
M is for magpie and mascot and minute. And M is for model and mess. M is for mermaid and mago and mackerel. And M is for much more or less. Minute and Mary and Monday and Mott. Millionaire marmalade muffins for tea. Mulligan, Shawley, and Minstrelly Rock. M for the Mediterranean Sea.
Hey, I've got another M.
Yes?
Emigrate.
No, that's an E.
Oh.
M is for millions of marvelous minutes of merry-go-round in the spring.
Getting hungry, for I haven't eaten a thing.
Alice thought it was the stupidest tea party she ever was at, and walked off in great disgust. She half hoped they'd call her back, but they were much too busy trying to put the dormouse into the teapot, and took not the slightest notice of her going. She soon decided it was much more pleasant walking in the beautiful garden.
Such a wonderful, wonderful day, in such a magical, marvelous way. Is it possible all this can be happening to me? The world is all topsy-turvy, and yet this is a day I shall never forget. Just for me. If you should tell me the whole world is crazy, then crazy I want it to be. Your dreams are more precious than gold, for you're poor if you don't understand. Wonderland.
A large rose tree near the entrance to the garden attracted her attention. The roses were white, but there were three gardeners round it, busily painting them red.
No one will ever believe me when I tell them this, but the gardeners are exactly like my playing cards. There's the 2, the 5, and the 7 of spades. Please, would you tell me why you are painting those roses?
The fact is, miss, you see, this here ought to have been a red rose tree. And we put a white one in by mistake, you see.
And if the Queen finds out, you see, we should all have our heads cut off, you see? So you see, miss, we're doing our best before she comes back.
The Queen! The Queen! The Queen! The Queen!
They've thrown themselves flat on their faces. I wonder if I ought to. But what's the use of a procession if you can't see it? And this is such a splendid one. Here they come. Everybody is walking two by two, and they are all like my playing cards. The 10 soldiers leading are the clubs. Then come 10 courtiers. How important they look. They are all diamonds. And oh, how lovely. Here come the royal children, the little dears. They look so merry skipping along, hand in hand, all decorated with hearts. Who are these, I wonder? I think they must be the royal guests. Of course, they're all kings and queens. Clubs. Diamonds. He still looks a bit nervous. And here comes the Knave of Hearts carrying the King's crown on a crimson velvet cushion. And yes, here they come, looking very dignified and regal, the King and Queen of Hearts. Goodness me, the Queen is stopping. I do believe she is going to speak to me.
And what is your name, child?
Alice, so please, Your Majesty.
And who are these? Up with their heads!
But they're your gardeners, and they're only trying to paint the roses.
Up with her head!
Oh, consider, my dear. She's only a child.
Ah, can you play croquet?
Yes.
Ah, come along then.
It's a very fine day.
Oh, Mr. White Rabbit, how nice to see you. I wonder if you could tell me, where's the Duchess?
Shh! Hush! She's under sentence of execution.
What for?
She boxed the Queen's ears. Oh, hush, please. The Queen will hear you. You see, she came rather late, and the Queen said...
Do you want to play, or don't you? Get to your places. Get to your places!
But how on earth can we play croquet like this? The ground is all ridges and furrows. The balls are live hedgehogs. And the mallets are live flamingos.
No, idiot! Up with his head! Come on! Yes, you! No, no, no! Up her head!
She's dreadfully fond of beheading people. No wonder there's anyone left alive. I must say, no one here plays at all fairly. They don't seem to have any rules.
How do you like the Queen?
Not at all. She... Be careful. Here comes the King.
Who are you talking to?
It's a friend of mine, a Cheshire Cat.
Oof, I don't like the look of it at all. However, it may kiss my hand.
I'd rather not.
Don't be impertinent. And don't look at me like that.
A cat may look at a king. I've read that somewhere.
It must be removed. Ah, here's the Queen. My dear, I wish you'd have this cat removed.
Off with its head!
But how can you cut off its head when it hasn't got a body to cut it from?
Anything with a head can be beheaded. Any idiot knows that.
If something isn't done about it in less than no time, I shall have everybody executed all round.
It's the Duchess's cat. Perhaps you'd better ask her.
She's in prison! Fetch her here!
Fetch the Duchess! Fetch the Duchess!
Fetch the Duchess!
Fetch the Duchess!
Oh, thank goodness the Cheshire Cat had the sense to disappear while no one was looking. Well, they certainly lost no time in finding the Duchess. Good afternoon, Duchess.
You can't think how glad I am to see you again, you dear old thing. Speak roughly to that little boy and beat him when he sneezes. You need those little... You're thinking of something, my dear, and that makes you forget to talk. I can't tell you just now what the moral of that is, but I shall remember in a bit.
Perhaps it hasn't one.
Oh, tut, tut, child. Everything's got a moral. If only you can find it. I only told it to one eye because you know that you speak of us.
She's quite pleasant, really. Maybe it was all that pepper that made her so hot-tempered. I think the game's going on rather better now.
Tis so. And the moral of that is, oh, tis love that makes the world go round.
Love makes the world go round, like a roundabout. Love is the only thing we can't live without.
Now, I give you fair warning. Either you or your head must be off, and that in about half of no time. Take your choice!
Goodbye, Duchess.
Have you seen the Mock Turtle yet?
No, I don't even know what a Mock Turtle is.
It's the thing Mock Turtle soup is made from. Here, you, Griffin. Up, lazy thing. And take this young lady to see the Mock Turtle, and hear his history. I must go back and see after some executions I have ordered.
Oh, what fun.
What is fun?
Why, she. It's all her fancy, that. She never executes nobody, you know. Come on.
Oh, dear, dear. Dear, dear.
Listen, it's the Mock Turtle. Oh, it's all his fancy, that. He hasn't got no sorrow, you know.
Oh, dear, dear.
Hey, hey, this young lady wants for to know your history, she do.
Dear, well, sit down, both of you, and don't speak a word till I've finished. Once I was a real turtle.
No.
Thank you, sir, for your interesting story.
I haven't finished yet. When we were little, we went to school in the sea. The master was an old turtle. We used to call him Tortoise.
Why did you call him Tortoise, if he wasn't one?
We called him Tortoise because he taught us. Really, you are very dull. We had the best of educations. In fact, we went to school every day.
I've been to a day school, too.
With extras?
Yes. We learnt French and music.
And washing?
Certainly not.
Ah, then it wasn't a really good school. I only took the regular course. Reeling and writhing to begin with, then the different branches of arithmetic, ambition, distraction, uglification, and derision.
I've never heard of uglification. What is it?
What? Never heard of uglifying? You know what to beautify is, I suppose.
Yes, it means to make anything prettier.
Well, then, if you don't know what to uglify is, you are a simple dun.
Yes. Then, of course, there was mystery.
Yes.
Mystery, ancient and modern, with theography. And then the drawling. The drawling master was an old conger eel that used to come in once a week. He taught us drawling, stretching, and fainting in coils.
And how many hours a day did you do lessons?
Ooh, 10 hours the first day, 9 the next, and so on.
What a curious plan.
Curious? That's the reason they're called lessons, because they lessen from day to day.
I see. Then I suppose the 11th day is a holiday.
Oh, that's enough about lessons. Mm. Tell her about the games.
The games, yes. You may not have lived much under the sea, and perhaps were never even introduced to a lobster, so you have no idea what a delightful thing a lobster quadrille is.
You first form into a line along the seashore.
Two lines, seals, turtles, salmon, and so on.
But you must advance twice. Yes. Each with a lobster as a partner.
Of course, advance twice, set to partner.
Change lobsters and retire in the same order.
Then you throw the
lobsters
as far as you can out to sea.
Swim after them, turn a somersault in the sea.
Change lobsters, back to land again, and that's all the first figure. Now come, let's try the first figure. We can do without the lobsters. Which shall sing?
Oh, you sing. I've forgotten the words.
Will you walk a little faster, said the whiting to the snail. There's a porpoise close behind us, and he's treading on my tail. Yes! See how eagerly the lobsters and the turtles all advance. They are waiting on the shingle. Will you come and join the dance?
Will you, won't you? Will you, won't you? Will you join the dance? Will you, won't you, won't you join the dance?
You can really have no notion how delightful it would be when they take us up and throw us with the lobsters out to sea. But the snail replied too far, and gave a look askance. Said he thanked the whiting kindly, but he would not join the dance.
Would not join the dance. Would not join the dance.
partners, form a line. Dolphins to the left, kippers to the right. Oh, come along, you snails, you are slow. Come along, lady shrimps and gentlemen crabs, form a square. Come along, come along. Oh, naughty octopus. Oh, he's a burden. What matters it how far we go, his scaly friend replied. There's another shore, you know, upon the other side. Yes. The further off from England, the nearer is to France. Then turn that pale, beloved snail, but come and join the dance.
Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you join the dance?
Octopus, will you keep your tentacles to yourself? You're tripping everyone up!
Thank you. It's a very interesting dance to watch. And I do so like the part about the whiting.
The whiting, yes. You've seen them, of course.
Yes, I've often seen them at Din.
I don't know where Din is. But you know why they're called whiting, don't you?
I never thought about it. Why?
Why? Because they does the boots and shoes.
Does the boots and shoes?
What are your shoes done with, then? What makes them so shiny?
They're done with blacking, I believe.
Well, then it's simple, isn't it? Boots and shoes under the sea are done with whiting.
Oh.
Come on, let's try another figure of the lobster quadrille. Oh, would you like the Mock Turtle to sing to you?
Ooh, a song, please. If the Mock Turtle would be so kind.
Oh, no accounting for taste. Sing her turtle soup, would you, all?
Oh, dear. Look. A beautiful soup, so rich and green, waiting in a hot tureen. Who for such dainties would not stoop? Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful soup, beautiful soup. A soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful, beautiful soup.
Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful soup, beautiful soup. Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful, beautiful soup.
Beautiful soup, so rich and green, waiting in a hot tureen. Who for such dainties would not stoop? Soup of the evening, beautiful soup.
Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful soup, beautiful soup. Soup of the evening, beautiful soup.
You splash me?
Sorry.
Beautiful soup.
Alice had never been in a court of justice before, but she had read about them in books, and she was quite pleased to find that she knew the name of nearly everything there.
That's the judge, because of his great wig.
The judge, by the way, was the king, and as he wore his crown over the wig, He didn't look at all comfortable, and it was certainly not becoming. He was seated next to the Queen, with a great crowd assembled about them. All sorts of little birds and beasts, as well as the whole pack of cards. The Knave of Hearts stood before them in trains, with a soldier on each side to guard him. Near the King was the White Rabbit, with a trumpet in one hand and a scroll of parchment in the other.
And that's the jury box over there, so I suppose those odd birds and animals are the jurors. Mr. White Rabbit, what are they writing on their slates? They can't have anything to write yet before the trial's begun.
They are putting down their names, in case they forget them before the trial's over.
Stupid things. I've never heard such nonsense.
Silence in the court! Pray silence for His Majesty the King!
Oh, thank you very, very much, Mr. White Rabbit. Thank you. Very kind of you. Read the accusation. Accusation.
Okay. Written. The Queen of Hearts, she made some tarts all on a summer day. The Knave of Hearts, she stole those tarts and took them quite away.
All right, then. Now, jury, consider your verdict.
No. Not yet. There's a great deal to come before that.
All right. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, of course. Well, let's sum up to start with, shall we? Good. Right, call the first witness.
Call the first witness, the Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter!
The Mad Hatter!
All right, I'm here. I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. Oh, Your Majesty. I mean, Your Majesty, for bringing my teacup, my piece of bread and butter. But I hadn't quite finished my tea when I was sent for.
Well, you ought to have finished. When did you begin?
The 14th of March, I think it was. What do you say, March?
15th. What do you say, Dormouse?
16th.
Write that down.
Well, this is too ridiculous for words. The jurors have written down the three dates, added them up, and reduced them to shillings and pence. How is that going to help?
Silence in court!
Mr. Hatter, give your evidence and don't be nervous. Or I'll have you executed. Oh, I'm not nervous. Who's nervous? I'm a poor man, Your Majesty. I hadn't begun my tea not about a week ago, and what with the bread and butter getting so thin and the twinkling of the tea...
The twinkling of a what?
Well, it began with a tea.
Well, of course twinkling begins with a tea. Do you take me for a dunce or something? Go on.
Well, I'm a poor man. A poor, poor man. And you can't get poorer than that. And the most things twinkle after that. Only the March Hare said...
I didn't.
You did.
I deny it.
He denies it. Leave out that part.
Well, at any rate, the Dormouse said... Well, after that, I'll cut some more bread and butter.
Just a moment. What did the Dormouse say? I mean, we haven't heard that yet, have we? Come on.
Well, that I can't remember.
He can't remember? He can't remember. You must remember. Or I'll have you executed on the spot.
Hooray!
I'll have you executed on the spot. Whether you did the dirty deed or not. I'll have you executed, off with your head or shoot it. I'll have you executed on the spot. Oh, yes, I'll have you executed on the spot. I'll have you executed on the spot. Whether you did the dirty deed or not. I'll have you executed, off with your head or shoot it. I'll have you executed on the spot. Oh, yes. I'll have you executed on the spot.
I'll have you executed on the spot. In fact, I think I'll execute the lots. I'll have you executed, off with your head or shoot it. I'll have you executed on the spot. Oh, yes! I'll have you executed on the spot.
I'll have you executed on the spot. Whether you did the dirty deed or not, I'll have you executed, off with your head or shoot it. I'll have you executed on the spot. Oh, yes, I'll have you executed on the spot. We'll have you executed on the spot. Whether you did the dirty deed or not, we'll have you executed.
executed on the spot.
Man, your Majesty, a poor man.
You're a very, very poor speaker.
Well, if that's all you know about it, then I suggest you stand down.
Well, I can't want it no lower. I'm on the floor as it is.
Well, then you may go. That is if the Queen agrees with my ruling.
Yes. And just take his head off outside.
Call the next witness.
Call the next witness. The cook.
The cook.
Call the cook.
The cook.
Oh, is this the cook? Right, well, give you all the... I beg your pardon. I didn't mean give you all the... I meant to give your evidence, please.
Shan't!
Excuse me, just...
This is my thing.
What do I do now, then?
Your Majesty must cross-examine this witness.
Must I?
Yes.
Oh, well, I suppose if I must, I must.
Yes,
what are tarts made of?
Pepper, mostly. Treacle. Lovely, sticky, licky treacle.
Go to that dormouse! Spearhead to that dormouse! Turn that dormouse out of court! Suppress him! Pinch him! Off with his whiskers!
Never mind. Really, my dear, you are the Queen. You must cross-examine the next witness. I can't get cross enough. I mean, you're so much better at it than I am. It quite makes my head ache.
Everybody's head should be off, and will be, unless there is order in this court in less than no time. Who is next?
The next witness is the chief witness. The chief witness for the crown, your majesty. It's Al...
Louder! Or I'll have your head off.
Call the next witness. Call Alice.
Alice.
Where's Alice gone?
Here, your majesty.
Oh, what do you know about this business?
Nothing.
Nothing whatever?
Nothing whatever.
Ah, that's very important.
Unimportant, your majesty means, of course.
Yes, unimportant is what I meant, of course. I mean, it's not important if I said unimportant. It's an unimportant thing to say unimportant. I mean, the important thing is to say unimportant when you should say unimportant. Yes, do you agree? Yes, well, good luck. Yes, now let me see. Silence! Rule 42.
42?
Oh, 42. I said 42. Yes, well. All persons more than a mile high leave the court.
I'm not a mile high.
You most certainly are a mile high.
Nearly 2 miles high.
Well, I shan't go at any rate. Besides, that's not a regular rule. You invented it just now.
Young lady, that's the oldest rule in the book.
Then it ought to be number one.
Ah, well, in that case, that proves it, doesn't it?
Jury, consider your verdict.
Please, one trifling matter, your majesty. The suggestion of fresh evidence. There's more evidence yet to come, your majesty. This paper here has been picked up, and it seems to be a letter. It's written by the prisoner to somebody.
A letter? Open it up. What does it say? Who is it directed to?
It isn't directed at all, your majesty. In fact, there's nothing on the outside at all. Oh, yes, look. Just one other little thing. It isn't a letter after all. It's a set of verse.
What could be worse than a set of verse? Are they in the prisoner's handwriting?
No, they're not, and that's the queerest thing of all, really.
Oh, well, that's as clear as daylight, then, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely obvious. The knave must have imitated somebody else's hand.
Hooray!
Please, your majesty, I didn't write it, and they can't prove I did. There's no name signed at the end.
Silence. Silence. If you didn't sign it, that only makes matters worse. I mean, you must have meant some mischief, or else you'd have signed your name like an honest man.
That proves he's guilty. He's guilty. He's guilty. Off with his head.
Stop. It proves nothing of the sort. Why, you don't even know what the verses are about.
Oh, all right, all right. We can soon settle that, you know. White Rabbit, will you read the verses?
The verses.
Well, it's more than one verses. Read the verses.
Now, well, where shall I begin, Your Majesty, please?
Where shall we begin, Your Majesty? We'll begin at the beginning and go on until you come to the end and then stop.
I remember the incident very well. I was sleeping at the time. There was lots of talk but nothing to tell, so we told it all in mime. I was swimming up a cobbled street with water in my ears, and when I saw the ghastly feet, I dried the street with tears. It's upside down and inside out, and plain as plain can be. Now you know what it's all about. Give the verdict, Your Majesty. Conclusions, conclusions, I got to reach conclusions. I don't know what to think or to say. Shall I reach an agreement, or shall I answer with nay? Opinions, opinions, I got to have opinions. There really isn't time to delay. Shall I say whether it's right or wrong, or go and play in the hay? The hay.
Enough. That's the most important piece of evidence we've heard yet, sir. So I think we'll let the jury decide.
If any one of them can explain it, I'll give him sixpence. I don't believe there's an atom of meaning in it.
Oh, well, if there's no meaning in it, that saves us a world of trouble, you know, as we need to try to find out. And yet I don't know. I mean, how did it go? I was swimming up a cobbled street. You, Knave of Hearts, can you swim? You can't swim, can you?
Do I look like it?
Objection overruled.
Hooray!
Now, let me see. Upside down and inside out. Well, I mean, that's clear enough, isn't it? That's what he did with the tarts.
But it goes on. It's as plain can be.
Yes, well, I know that. I know what it's all about. I mean, there's no need to have a fit. You ought to take a lesson from the Queen, you know. You never had fits, dear, I think, have you?
Never!
Oh, then the words don't fit you, then. I said the words don't fit you. I say that's a pun, you know. All right. Let the jury consider the verdict.
No! No, sentence first, verdict afterwards.
Stuff and nonsense. The idea of having a sentence first...
Hold your tongue!
I won't!
Up with her head!
I'll have you executed on the spot!
Who cares for you all? You're all nothing but a pack of cards. There, down you go!
The whole pack of playing cards had risen into the air and came flying down upon Alice, who tried to beat them off, and found herself lying on the bank with her head in the lap of her sister, who was gently pushing away some dead leaves that had fluttered down from the trees upon her face. Alice tried to tell her sister, as well as she could remember them, of all these strange adventures that you've just been listening to. Her sister kissed her and told her to run in to tea as it was getting late. So Alice got up and ran off, thinking while she ran, as well she might, what a wonderful dream it had been.